Greetings, listeners. You are listening to Pop Defect Radio. This is Skidmark Bob here with a special broadcast on the Middle East North African Revolution and Uprising. With the latest news as of March 1st, 2011, we'll also be sharing Middle East North African music. Also news from Greece, where a general strike is in progress, as well as very violent riots. Well, I'll tell you folks, it's been one hell of a start to 2011, and things still haven't calmed down yet, and it's only March. I've been glued to Al Jazeera English online ever since this uprising has begun, and of course they've been doing exceptional continuous coverage. It's basically banned in the U.S. cable industry, but you can watch it for free online. You can watch it from their site at english.aljazeera.net. They should have a little thing in the right-hand corner that says Watch Live, or their mirror site, www.muslimco.com/aljazeeraenglish.html. So we're going to start off this special broadcast with an audio collage I made on the whole Libya uprising. And of course, who better to start us off with the main man most hated in the world today? That's right, Muammar Gaddafi. This clip is from a very recent ABC interview, and I really think this man has gone senile. You be the judge. Stay tuned, Pop Defect Radio.
They love me, all my people with me. They love me all.
But if they do love
me... They will die to protect me, my people. My people.
The streets of Benghazi on Saturday, a fierce battle. And the scene of death and violence.
I have cousins who are in the streets whose friends have been killed right in front of them. The killings are just going on. Bodies are piled everywhere. The numbers that they announce on TV are nowhere to compare. They're just firing people. Sniper shooters are on the rooftop. Every house, every single house.
Despite the violence, the protests against the 42-year reign of Muammar Gaddafi appear to be gaining steam. Civilians have reportedly taken control of Benghazi, Libya's second city. Oil workers at the Nafoora oil field have gone on strike, and protests have spread to the capital city of Tripoli. There are reports the home of Libya's parliament in Tripoli has been set on fire. On Sunday, Gaddafi's son vowed to institute a series of reforms, but warned the protests could lead to a civil war.
The unrest is spreading across the country. Here in Albaidia, thousands gather near the main mosque, another city rocked by days of protests against the country's leadership. Chanting "There's no God but Allah," mourners carry the body of one of those killed. And there's more chaos. Anti-Gaddafi graffiti sprayed on walls, and a voice through a loudspeaker saying, "There's no state here." Reports of casualties are running high and constantly rising. The city's hospital overwhelmed. The morgue is filled with bodies, and more are still coming. On Libyan state television, the first signs that the country is in difficulty. Images of burning buildings, a result of the protests. They're blaming foreign forces for trying to destabilize the country. But while thousands of Libyans remain on the streets in various cities across the country, it's becoming harder and harder to ignore their calls.
Thank you. my weapon. Ain't no one the right to teach me how to live for, and ain't no one gonna tell me what to die for. Right now I'm on red alert and it never stops. Introduce me to peace and I hold back my trigger. Leave my people alone now, let me throw my anger. Your religious savagery allows you to kill without authorities. Pumping on the minorities, clear the way for my enemies. Let them listen to that, listen to Sadat.
Pursuing peace is the only avenue which is compatible with our culture and creed.
Sohal Baharu Sohal Dini Shilion Berja. Sohal Baharu Sohal Dini Shilion Berja. Born from the choice between good and bad, and wisdom consists in not using the last one, except in case of aggression. But who has begun, and who gave them license to raise the gun, to rape the ground of my brother's mounts, squat on my planes, shoot me down in flames, raping every day. They said that I breathe with the goddamn airplanes, but don't ever put back again your hands on my children.
Never.
Cause if you let my hate keep on growing, I'll crush you with my thumb. You see, word is a link. I am violent cause you did me harm. You are violent, but you're doing harm to yourself. Keep your hands up in the sky if you don't wanna die. Sohal Baharu Sohal Dini Shilion Berja. Sohal Baharu Sohal Dini Shilion Berja. في عند دمب جسمي ونوير احنا سوا هونيك الارض كل في الشمس ولو ما كن بنا تذكر كل شي من حياتي ودمي لا اخوف ايد هالموسيقى بتمي ما تخاف يا خيي لانه مات هالحي كان بيلعب بالحجار هلا راح مع الحرب راح واخد قلوب اولاد معه بل كن سنة لريح الدني شمس بيروح وبيرجع كل السنة وطني عنده حرارة لانه قتلوا ماتوا بهالدنيا في مليان ما بيعرفوا كيف نعيش وبيجوا ولا بيسألوا يا دعاني لبنان دعانك طرابلس سيدة معلمك عنتورة بس كنت متين جبيل سحلة بيروت صنين أشرفية جيسين نبطية سور جرة ضمور صوب هالبحر وصوب هالدنيا شليون برجع أنا برجع والله خليني نموت بوطني لبنان.
لبنان صوت اسمعه.
This is Al Jazeera.
Pressure on Muammar Gaddafi to resign is gathering momentum as the international community tells him it's time to go. But the Libyan leader is showing no sign of heeding their calls as he continues to clamp down on protesters in an attempt to quash any dissent against his rule. It comes as the international community meets in Geneva to discuss the ongoing crisis in Libya. Dan Nolan reports.
Panic sets in on a highway near the eastern Libyan town of Ajdabiya. Anti-government fighters try to divert traffic after what they say was an aerial attack from Muammar Gaddafi's forces.
There's another explosion in the military. It's waiting in the military. You can see the smoke from there.
These pictures were filmed by Associated Press on Monday. Witnesses said the target was an ammunition dump taken over by opposition forces. As they wait with rocket-propelled grenades for a follow-up attack, a former Air Force pilot who's joined the rebel ranks made this plea to control Colonel Gaddafi.
Whether it is the European Union or the Arabs or America or even Russia, we ask them to just shut down this man's airspace. We are capable of taking him out by ourselves, but we are only requesting the international community to enforce a no-fly zone.
And he may be getting his wish, with the Pentagon announcing on Monday it's, quote, moving U.S. warships closer to Libya in case they are needed. It's the kind of air power required to enforce a no-fly zone over a country where fierce ground battles continue. This amateur video was uploaded on social media on Monday and is said to show fresh battles at Misrata Airport, a sprawling airbase that each side now partly controls. Al Jazeera cannot independently verify it or another uploaded video said to show the aftermath of battles at the same airport on Sunday. Misrata is 200 kilometres to the east of Tripoli, its strategic value possibly best explained by the huge amount of ammunition left behind. Another key airbase at Benin is now firmly in the hands of the opposition, with all Air Force staff said to have joined the uprising.
The whole base responded to my call to join the People's Revolution. We have great staff. As military per not leading anything, this is a people's revolution led by the youth. Our role is to protect and support it. That's our main aim.
Away from the headline towns, it appears that little places too are quietly realigning themselves. This Facebook video is said to be from Zintan. It's southwest of Tripoli, where Gaddafi has assumed control for decades. Dan Nolden, Al Jazeera.
Jazeera's Hoda Abdel Hamid is inside Libya. She spoke to us just a few minutes ago from Tobruk.
I'm here in Tobruk, about 140 kilometers away from the border between Libya and Egypt. Now, at the border, I saw hundreds of people fleeing Libya with everything they own, basically mattresses, sinks, washing machines, everything they own. Those were people who are actually Egyptian workers in Libya who came here to save money, and now they had to flee. Now, they described very violent scenes. They said that people were being killed in Baida and Benghazi, that they say happened a couple of days ago. One man told me there was a bloodbath. They did say that the situation is still very chaotic and people are extremely scared, especially after the speech of Muammar Gaddafi. People thought that would be a threat and they thought that they better leave now before waiting to see what would happen next. From what I've seen, I would say that the people of eastern Libya are the ones in control. Certainly there were no officials at the border. We were just welcomed through the border, all along the road. We didn't see one policeman, we didn't see one soldier, and people here did tell us that they have all fled or are in hiding, and that they are now in charge of this part of the country, meaning all the way from the border to Brook and then all the way up to Benghazi. They say that now they are going to keep the control and the security of this area, and they're certainly, as they say it, not going to allow any soldiers or security forces from the central government to come here. Where I am exactly, it's very calm, and from what people tell me, it's actually quite calm also in Baida and Benghazi. They say it's been quite calm for the past 24 hours. They do say, however, that militias, or what they describe as militias rather, are still roaming around, especially at night. They describe them as African men. They say these men speak French, so they think they're from Chad, but they're not sure. They say that these militias do appear on the roads, do cause really panic among the civilian population, and they do describe sometimes very strong and violent fights between the residents here and these militias. They do say that they still have to put under control that situation.
Hoda Abdelhamid reporting there from Tobruk inside Libya.
The town of Azawiya lies just 50 kilometers to the west of Tripoli. Now it has become a new front line in the battle between pro and anti-Gaddafi forces. These pictures were shot by journalists brought here by the regime. The idea was to show the outside world that Gaddafi is still in control here. Instead, the reporters found that Azawiya was in rebel hands, at least for now. The town is surrounded by pro-Gaddafi forces. Both sides are armed with tanks and anti-aircraft guns. Gaddafi's crackdown against his opponents has been the bloodiest and most ruthless in the wave of uprisings sweeping North Africa and the Middle East. But it doesn't seem to have stemmed the rebellion against his four-decade rule. In the east of the country, opposition forces are welcoming visitors to what they are calling Free Libya. In the city of Benghazi, there are signs of a return to normal. Banks have reopened here and in the town of Al Baida, both of which threw off Gaddafi's rule about a week ago.
The banks have been closed for 8 days, but thanks to our brave young men, they've managed to reopen in an orderly fashion. And praise be to God, everything is moving along smoothly.
And while residents stock up at the supermarket, the power vacuum that was left in the city is being filled. Local committees that are running towns and cities in the east of Libya have rallied behind a new leader, the former justice minister who resigned over the brutal repression.
What is happening in Libya is a popular revolution led by the youth, supported by the people against oppression and against the dictator who has led Libya with a singular point of view and with a vengeful attitude and bloodthirsty soul. Now we announce to the world that we intend to build a democratic nation with institutions that respect international obligations and treaties.
Libya relies on its oil fields. They're the mainstay of its economy. But now production appears to be grinding to a halt. This refinery is pumping 11,000 barrels a day, only one-tenth of what it would normally produce, according to the manager. The expatriate workers who used to man the plant have fled to escape the violence.
Muammar Gaddafi's options are shrinking. Opposition forces continue to advance towards the capital, and the international community has imposed sanctions which further limit his room for manoeuvre. But the Libyan leader still shows no sign of being in the mood to surrender. Jackie Rowland, Al Jazeera, Benghazi.
من الصحراء للصحراء حتى تصحب الملايين، الملايين تذهب، المهم تحدي وقفها بسرعة بسرعة. معي الملايين موجود من الداخل، معي الملايين اللي من الغرفة، أنا عند موجه نداء إلى كل ملايين الصحراء، من الصحراء للصحراء حتى تصحب الملايين، الملايين تذهب، المهم تحدي وقفها بسرعة بسرعة. كبر 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 بيت بيت دار دار زنقة زنقة فرق فرق كبر كبر بيت بيت دار دار زنقة زنقة فرق فرق. دخل ساعة العمل، دخل ساعة التعب، دخل ساعة الانتصار لا رجوع. دخل ساعة العمل، دخل ساعة التعب، دخل ساعة الانتصار لا رجوع.
Our correspondent, Hada Abdelhamid, has the latest from the city of Benghazi in eastern Libya, which is now in the hands of the opposition.
People here in the east are really doing their best to try to organize themselves at different level, whether it's the administration level or trying to bring some sort of normalcy back to the cities here, trying to keep the security very, very tight. At the moment, everything is at a standstill. Schools and universities are still shut down. And people do feel that at the moment they might be at a sort of a deadlock. They don't know how things will unfold, whether the uprising will keep its momentum or whether the violent confrontations that are happening in the west of the country will make many people shy away. So certainly they're here in the east looking at the west to try to figure out what is the next step. And many people here say that they want to go to the west of the country to help out there, but it is a very difficult journey for them. It is also a very risky journey for them. They'll have to go through the hometown of Gaddafi. That means they will have to meet face to face with some of his elite paramilitary forces, which are much better equipped and much better trained than the regular army or the regular security forces. Now, on the reaction to the international community, they have welcomed the condemnations coming from the international community, but they do say that if the international community wants to help, then the one thing they should do is impose a no-fly zone sooner rather than later. That will improve the safety incredibly for the people. It will make sure that it's very difficult for the regime to bring in foreign mercenaries into the country and fly them to these areas like it happened at the beginning of this uprising. So certainly trying to look at what's happening in the country and outside of the country and trying to decide to understand how isolated is Gaddafi at the moment. There is an impression on the ground here that at the moment he is only surrounded by his closest loyalists. That means people from his own tribe, his close relatives, and that would be about it according to what people believe here.
down, down till the day deserving fitting for a king. I'm waiting for the time that I can reach my motherland like my father a priest. In the God-fearing east, I won't stay up here. I'm fed up fading in the mist. AM7, dilly dally, living in the corner of a cell block to get to know that it is one. Isolation is not the way I thought. Another piece of my mind I hadn't caught. Working hard for my music, rhythm and words from the street, without noticing the bones on my feet. A lonely man in the breeze, almost learn where I freeze. What's a smiling face when the whole place is racist? Looked for the open eye, hidden in the cradle. Missed it in my body, but my blood remained oriental light. Standing on the line to be broken by time. I'll get to my land, call me the Cedar Man. Babylon, to satisfy my soul and head right back to Lebanon for real. Chill on these mountains overseas where the people cried, died, and you did know it ain't right. People like myself show you where it's at. Soul on my side, better whipping in my bag. Cause I'm making your money while you just keep on bombing on my baby. So many people died in this goddamn warfare. Now, after all these years, does anybody care? They just shoot up to get their power bigger. And for long, kept on persecuting niggas. I come from these people down under, where the blood is still spilling. But my mind over matter. For now, I got my open hand, and it's gonna lead me right down to my promised end.
Defect Radio. We just heard from Colter K. It's off his album Lebanese. The track's called Ya Sariani. Colter K raps and sings in Arabic, French, and English, coming from Beirut, Lebanon. We also heard in the mix some Muslim Gaz off his 2010 release Leper, track called Obalask. And we also heard from Baghdad Heavy Metal, various artists release with Baghdad Burning. And we heard various stories from Al Jazeera English from February 28th and March 1st, 2011, Middle East and North Africa uprisings. And it is spilling over all over the world. In Greece, there is a general strike. We're going to hear a couple short news clips. I got one from Al Jazeera, one from CBS News, and we're also going to hear a special interview from the Stimulator off of It's the End of the World as We Know It and I Feel Fine. Check it out at submedia.tv. And we got a lot more coming from the Middle East, so stay tuned. Pop Defect Radio. I resist.
In Athens, Greece, riot police are battling thousands of protesters. The police fired tear gas as demonstrators marched to Parliament building as part of a general strike. You can see what's happening there. The protesters threw rocks and firebombs. One police officer's clothing here caught on fire. The protesters are rallying against deep government cuts in salaries and benefits.
They came to Parliament to pour scorn on those inside. They chanted thieves, which is how many Greeks feel about their politicians. But as the crowd pushed their way up the steps of Parliament, the police fought back with tear gas. All the time, a large, orderly crowd was still filing into the square.
Away from the violence, it's important to remember that large numbers of Greek people have come out today and demonstrated peacefully about their economic concerns. And this is the largest demonstration since this crisis began, what, 4 or 5 months ago.
But events moved fast and took a very ugly turn. Soon, vicious battles were breaking out across the city. All this in the heart of a major European capital.
Well, this march began peacefully, but you can see what is now happening outside the Greek Parliament. Of course, these scenes increase the political pressure on Prime Minister George Papandreou, and they're evidence of the social tensions in Greece at the moment.
Not far away, the authorities say this bank was set on fire by people throwing Molotov cocktails. Violence in Athens rarely results in serious injury, but in this building, the fire brigade found three bodies. Elsewhere, many people have been injured, and there's been widespread vandalism. Parliament is due to vote this week on the austerity measures. A majority will surely support the government, but Greece, divided by despair and anger, is in turmoil. Barnaby Phillips, Al Jazeera, Athens.
This was the first general strike this year, and yet again it ended up in violent scuffles between police and self-styled anarchists who weaved into a massive protest march using demonstrators as human shields to lobby gas bombs, rocks, and wooden clubs against the authorities. Riot police retaliated, firing endless rounds of tear gas and percussion grenades to disperse the crowds away from the city center. Police have yet to release the number of people who were detained and those injured in these protests. But today's march altogether was by far one of the biggest demonstrations I've seen, at least yet. Even the most modest estimates speak of about 40,000 people who walked off work and took to the streets of Athens to voice their opposition to austerity measures. Indicative of that mood was when protesters today planted themselves outside Parliament and unfurled a banner saying, "We are starving." So a lot of anger here. Greeks are just fed up with these austerity measures. They feel that they are very harsh and unfair. And with unemployment surging to about 14%, they also fear that there's no hope as the country slips deeper into its recession.
As the world was paying close attention to events in northern Africa, the motherfucking Greek resistance took part in a general strike that paralyzed the country. These strikes saw some of the most intense street fighting that I have witnessed since I started following the exploits of the Greek anarchists. To give us an inside look at what the fuck is going down in Athens, I spoke with my main man Brandon Jordan, independent journalist and video motherfucking ninja extraordinaire. Hey Brando. How the fuck are you?
I'm doing pretty fucking good, man. In Exarchia, which is the best neighborhood in one of the best cities in the entire world. Exarchia is a little bit of an anarchist mecca.
So what the fuck is this general strike all about?
Specifically, what the people who called for this general strike were the two largest unions in Greece. Now, it would be inaccurate to say they were the ones who organized it. There are several aspects of the sort of Greek movement that should be noted. Part of it is organized labor. The other part is sort of the kind of precarious laborers who aren't unionized. Like Greece, like a lot of other countries, you know, a lot of people aren't, you know, in sort of steady jobs. There's also a huge amount of unemployed people, youth, migrants, and stuff like that who are involved in it. And some people were not necessarily protesting the same things the unions were. The unions were calling for a protest against austerity programs, which have come into effect following the bailout of Greece. And the restructuring of the economy has occurred due to external factors like the IMF and the European Union. So people are pissed off about that. So what happened yesterday in Athens were anywhere from 100 to 250,000 people, depending on your sources. It was a call to turn Syntagma Square, which is the square in front of Parma, into Tahrir Square, which basically means that a lot of people have been influenced by Egypt. Unfortunately, this did not happen. As the large crowds moved to Syntagma Square, the police began firing lots and lots of tear gas. It's hard to know if the tear gas was the start of it or if it was people throwing projectiles. There was a fuckload of tear gas, more tear gas than I've ever seen in my fucking life. So as the tear gas began flying and the projectiles began flying, the demonstration descended or turned into hours and hours of street fighting. It was pretty crazy. There's a movement right now called the I Won't Pay movement. Now what this is a number of people have been occupying tolls and letting drivers go through for free. They've been taping up ticketing machines at the metros and where people get tickets for buses. Drivers have been letting riders ride for free. Doctors have been giving away free medical care.
Wait a motherfucking minute. People are providing services for free?
And this is a partially revolt against the austerity, saying, you know, people are saying they've had enough of it. This is also just a little bit of classic Greek anti-authoritarianism.
You call the neighborhood of Exarchia an anarchist mecca. Just what the fuck do you mean?
Exarchia is an anarchist neighborhood. It is known throughout Athens. It's known by the police as that as well. Police do not walk alone in Exarchia. They usually walk in groups. They were basically non-existent until just a few years ago, and then these local police known as the Delta Police began arriving. The Delta Police are brutal. They're basically gangs. They ride motorcycles. An American activist was almost killed by them. They attacked her with a piece of marble and smashed it into her head. She cracked her skull. She had severe bleeding. She's lucky to have lived.
So are people in Greece trying to overthrow the government?
People don't try things in Greece. They do them. There have been a series of general strikes the last few years. There was a revolt that happened in December 2008. The masses of Greece are very, very, very anti-authoritarian. They may not all be anarchists. There's certainly a lot of them. Most of the population is still left. But people are pissed off over the austerity. People are not satisfied with the government here. And like I said yesterday, the call was to turn Syntagma Square into Tahrir Square. Now, what's gonna happen in the future? That's up to the Greeks, but I have the most confidence in the Greek people that I do of just about any population in the world. It's nothing short of amazing what's happening here in Greece. This is definitely a revolutionary moment.
Some people think that the Greek rebellions are new. But can you tell us a bit of the history of the motherfucking Greek resistance?
Significant dates in Greek history. Look back to November 1973, when people had an uprising against the dictatorship. This started at the Polytechnic University, and there was a massacre there. The military moved in, students were murdered. Now, due to people putting their bodies and lives on the line, the police are not allowed in the universities. This has allowed them to be a sanctuary for street fighters who have used them to organize, have used them to actually make Molotovs because the police are not allowed in there. Now people look at Greece and they say, it can't happen here. The Greeks are crazy. The Greeks died for this right. And it's important, this is very important for people to know that there would be nothing here if people had not risked and given their lives for this movement. Now, since 1973, there have been a long tradition of strikes and uprisings, urban guerrilla groups, everything you can possibly think of here. course, this has been amplified in recent years. 2008, I've already mentioned the uprising that happened there for a month. A number of very big militant general strikes, which I can't see ending anytime soon.
What can we look forward to in Greece in the next couple of months?
The future of Greece, the future of Europe, looks to be crazy. You have a lot of austerity going through this year. The end of last year, you had major uprisings throughout Europe, major riots, which I think were part of what is going to be an ongoing uprising, reminiscent or maybe even outweighing that of 1968. You had the movements against austerity and the riots and what's not that have happened in England. You've had a general strike in Spain. You've had massive marches in Belgium and riots, cars burnt there. People setting fires and revolting in the Netherlands. Although small, it's still developing. There have also been movements against the cuts in the Netherlands. Italy, people have risen up against the autocratic rule of Berlusconi and the impending cuts that he's trying to push through. Ireland, people now, because the economy is being restructured by the IMF and the European Union. People know now that their economy is going to be under control from external powers the next 20 to 30 years in Ireland. They feel like they're once again being colonized, but this time by these stupid central banks. Who knows? I mean, honestly, right now it's looking like 2011 is going to be a year of revolt. It's the end of their rule as they know it, and I feel great.
Roughly 25 miles west of Tripoli along the Mediterranean is the town of Zawiya. It was the site of a violent standoff. Thousands of anti-government protesters had gathered in the town square in the shadow of a mosque. On the road between Tripoli and Zawiya, on the outskirts of town, army forces loyal to Muammar Gaddafi were massing.
The army attacked, but was pushed back to the edge of town by the protesters. After that initial attack, we managed to get through to a demonstrator in the square. He was on his cell phone. He's a 58-year-old businessman who gave us the name Muhammad. He described the protesters as a formidable group and said they were heavily armed.
There's a lot of machine guns here, which is the opposition down testing their weapons because they are ready for the Gaddafi regime's people to come in. They close all the roads coming to the square. They have tanks here, they have machine guns, they have artillery, they have Kalashnikov, they have small handguns and machetes and you name it. They have the weapons and they are ready for the bastards.
I'm hearing a lot of chaos in the background behind you. Is that gunfire that I'm hearing?
Yes, this is the center, man. This square here has a mosque. And from the mosque, they announce what's happening and what's going on. So they are encouraging the people to stay put and not to fire on the air because they're really happy to get rid of this bastard.
How many people are there in the square?
Right now, I'd say at least 2,000-3,000, at least. Something is happening now.
What just happened? We heard that. What just happened?
Something is happening now. Yeah, there's something happening. They are going to one corner. Going to one corner where the opposition are coming through. Yeah, right now. Something is happening. You hear this much? Something is happening right now. Are you still with me, man?
I'm here. Are you in a safe place right now?
Something is happening right now.
Are you in a safe place?
Well, I'm in the square, man, just like everybody else. A lot of people run to the rooftops and hiding behind trees and buildings, but most of them still in the square.
So you're in an open area right now?
Yes, ma'am, we are. A lot of machine guns being fired.
Do you know if it's the protesters firing, or are you being fired upon?
I'm not sure, ma'am. I'm not sure. As I told you, a couple of thousand, maybe 3,000 people here. Everybody, almost everybody's armed here. Almost everybody. Some heavy guns, machine guns, some handguns, some machetes, some everything.
Are you armed yourself?
No, ma'am. I did not go to the barricade to get my own arm. Everybody grabs what they can, and they arm themselves. I see a tank coming in right now. The opposition just took it. You hear the tank? Yeah, they just took it from the opposition, I guess, from Gaddafi's regime.
When you say they took it, what do you mean by that?
Well, I see a tank coming to the square, so it either came from Gaddafi regime is people, or from one of those.
Did the tank roll through the barricade there? Is it now in the square?
It's right in the square right now. It's with the opposition.
So
I think it's just a celebration. So don't be alarmed.
All right. I want to make sure I understand something. The tank that rolled in, was that an army tank that the protesters overtook?
Yes, it's an army tank, yes.
But now it's what?
Now it's with the opposition. There's like 5-6 tanks with the opposition right now.
Did the army just abandon those tanks?
I'm not sure. They abandoned them or the, if they want to call it the revolutionary, they went and got them from the camps. It's either or. I'm not sure. I just saw them here in the square.
What do you know about casualties or deaths in the area?
The casualties here, I just went to the grave site where they had buried this morning 6 people. I see them right there in front of me. There are 6 new graves. And in the hospitals, they say hundreds in the hospital. A lot of them with the heavy injuries.
The wires are reporting that there are several people who have been wounded in this sit-in. Have you had a chance to visit the hospitals? Do you know anything about what's going on at the hospitals there?
Well, I hear rumors, ma'am, that they went to the hospital and they emptied the hospitals from the injured people because Gaddafi's son, which his name is Saif al-Islam or something, he was supposed to be bringing some people from the media and showing them that there was nothing happening and everything is in order, schools are open, and this is a lie. Schools are closed, shops are closed, the streets are deserted, empty except for a few cars here and there, and there's nothing happening in the city. It's completely shut down. And people are staying in their houses except the people right here in the square right now, and they are coming from everywhere in Zawiya. There are young people, as young as maybe 10 or 15, but there's a lot of old people as well.
How long have the protesters been there in that square in front of the mosque?
4 days today. I think 4 or 5 days.
And how long do you think they're willing to stay?
They're willing to stay till he goes or we go. And that's a fact. I know it from their faces.
Mohammed, the world is watching and listening to what's going on in Libya right now. What, if anything, should the international community do?
I think they should interfere, ma'am. The United States should do something. They're not going to say like what they said in Egypt or Tunisia, okay, we are not doing anything until they knew that the regime is gone, and then they stepped in. And that's what they are doing in Libya right now. They are staying away until they know that the people are taking over, and then they're going to come in. But we want them to do that before that happens. We want them to do that and show that they are for the people, for the Constitution, for freedom. This country has suffered a lot. 42 years. That's enough.
Egypt's former president, Hosni Mubarak, has not been heard from since he stepped down last month, but now the spotlight's back on the former leader. Egypt's public prosecutor has issued a travel ban on him and his family and put a freeze on their financial assets. Ayman Mohideen has more.
Forced out of office and now in the crosshairs of Egypt's prosecutor general. On Monday, former president Hosni Mubarak and his family were banned from traveling abroad and all of their financial assets and property in Egypt frozen pending further investigation. Mubarak and his family had reportedly accumulated billions of dollars in wealth during their 30 years in power in both domestic and foreign assets. The president's two sons, Ala and Gamal, were widely believed to have exploited their family ties for personal financial gains. Holding Mubarak and his former regime accountable is important if Egypt is to make a break from its past.
I think it's a very positive decision. One of the demands of the revolution, which pushes it forward and reassures the people to a great extent, especially these investigations in corruption.
Shortly after Mubarak left office, Egypt's foreign ministry requested foreign governments and financial institutions to freeze all foreign assets belonging to Mubarak's family. The travel ban and freeze is being imposed nearly 3 weeks after Mubarak stepped down, leaving some to question the prosecutor's intent.
Very late. It should have been taken when the prosecutor issued his decision to freeze Mubarak's assets abroad, and even before then, because it has given Mubarak time to smuggle his assets out of the country.
Mubarak is the most senior official of the previous regime, who is now under investigation for illegal activity. Similar travel bans and investigations have been launched into several top officials that served under Mubarak. And on Monday, indictments were filed against former ministers who are now set to go on trial in early March. Holding former regime officials accountable was one of the main demands of Egypt's revolutionary movement, saying the current leadership of the country must cut all ties with the past by sending a strong signal it will prosecute Mubarak's alleged wrongdoings. While many will see this as a positive step in the right direction, others will say it's too little too late, and that the delay in issuing such a freeze will merely have allowed the Mubarak family even more opportunity to hide any ill-gotten gains. Ayman Mohideen, Al Jazeera, Cairo.
Yemen's opposition has rejected a call to join a unity government. That's despite reports President Ali Abdullah Saleh is prepared to give the opposition ministerial posts. Hashem Ahalbara reports from Sana'a.
Rehearsing for the big day. anti-government protesters outside Sana'a University. A huge rally is expected Tuesday, and for the first time, the opposition plans to join pro-democracy demonstrators in what they are calling a day of fury. This square, just off the university campus, has been the epicenter for demonstrations against the government. From there, organizers plan to march through the streets of the capital.
Despite pledges by President Ali Abdullah Saleh to enact democratic reforms, these young people are saying that they have made up their mind, that they have crossed the point of no return, and that they will continue their fight to bring down the government and the political elite in Yemen.
Please, 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 please leave our country before it's coming too late. Please leave our country, leave our country. We don't need anymore. If you love us, please leave us.
But Saleh isn't willing to leave. In this gathering with his ruling party, he made it clear that he won't let the street overthrow what he insists is a democratically elected government. In a thinly veiled warning aimed at stemming the rise of defections among loyalists, he told his party that if he should fall, they would be next.
Ben Ali is gone, but is it calm now in Tunisia? Is it over? They want to get rid of the leadership, the inner circle and all the chain of command. They got rid of the first tier leadership in Egypt. Now they want to get rid of the rest. I'm telling you, you have to be careful.
But warnings like these have not been enough to keep some of his most staunch supporters from losing faith. 11 members of the ruling party have already joined anti-government forces, along with one of the most senior tribal figures in Yemen. Saleh cautioned that his security forces were given strict orders to act in self-defense. Threats are likely to dissuade the demonstrators from massing on this square for what they hope will be a turning point in their fight for democratic changes. Hashim Albarra, Al Jazeera, Sana'a.
In the Omani city of Soha, a supermarket has been set ablaze. On the third day of unrest, anti-government protesters blocked roads to two of the country's main export ports on Monday. A doctor said six people had died in Soha a day earlier during clashes with police, but the health minister says only one person had been killed. In Bahrain, protesters have blockaded parliament in an attempt to increase pressure for government. That efforts were underway to launch talks with the opposition. Pro-reform rallies are continuing in key parts of the capital, Manama, calling for the monarchy to bring greater political freedoms. Libyan leader Muammar Gaddafi has spoken to U.S. Television, the network ABC. For more on what he said, let's cross to Nick Clark in Washington. Nick.
Yes, and the interview took place in Tripoli, of course, and during it, Gaddafi denied that there were protests taking place against him anywhere in Libya. He also said he could not and would not step down because he was not a president or king. The embattled leader also invited the United Nations to come to Libya and do a, quote, fact-finding mission. And when asked about cracking down on protesters, Gaddafi denied using any force against people. In fact, he said all the people of Libya are behind him.
They love me, all my people with me. They love me all.
But if they do love
me, they will die to protect me and my people. No.
And you've been listening to Pop Defect Radio, a special broadcast on the Mideast, North Africa Revolution Uprising. My name is Skidmark Bob. Download the show at popdefectradio.blogspot.com. And again, watch Al Jazeera English live online. Streaming video at english.aljazeera.net or www.muslimco.com/aljazeeraenglish.html. Thank you for listening. Thanks for listening to Pop Defect Radio.
بعدني بغزول حلا بسر حلا تغبار كان وجهي ضو اسود اللون جرح شحطار انا مش انا وينك يا مبارح الاخضر طلوا سالني شو بني وبقلبي نار بعدني بغزول